You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
When I was a teenager, I was a pretty active magician. I did lots of shows, and the magic that I was learning, is it's interesting, as I look back, was one of those places where I probably learned more about psychology than anywhere in life, than more than any graduate or undergraduate class I ever took in psychology. I remember how many things I took from just watching people as they reacted and responded to the magic tricks. And one of the things that always was a curiosity to me was how complicated people would make the tricks. They would make it as if it was just some great mechanical thing that was happening in front of them. Truth be told, it was almost always a much more simple explanation than they gave it credit. I remember one trick I had. There was a magic wand, and the little magic wand was a very cool trick. It was one of the first tricks I learned, and one of the reasons that I actually got interested in magic in the first place. And it was based on a very simple sleight of hand move. Very simple. Very, very simple. And if you've ever been in a magic store, you've probably seen this trick. It's one of the standards. But when people would try to tell me how I did it, they came up with these mechanical ways that the wand was working and the ways that the jewel on the wands were working. And they went round and round trying to give me their explanation of this mechanical reason of why the trick worked, when in actuality, it was a very simple explanation, a very simple sleight of hand. And what I realized was that was almost always the case. They would always complicate the process. They would always make the trick a much bigger deal than the trick really was. In fact, that's one of those tenets that magicians do when they're creating tricks. The more simple the trick, the more likely it is that nobody's going to figure it out, because their mind naturally goes to the complicated. And I think that's just kind of one of those human nature things. We come up with these great explanations, these huge twisted explanations for things, when I think it's a lot more simple than that. Now, understand, when I say simple, I don't mean simplistic. So when I was doing magic, you know, there were those who came up with these very convincing mechanical reasons of why that trick worked. And then there were those who just said, well, that's just magic, right? So it's just magic is really just a very simplistic understanding. I'm not talking about simplistic. I'm talking about simple. There's a huge difference between the two. But my real concern is when we make things so very, very complex. And when we're looking at marriage and a marriage crisis, we make the issues there and the ways to restore a relationship very, very complex, when they really are not at all complex. And one of my concerns is that when I watch people working to save their marriage, they complicate things. And we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that we're on a very simple, direct process. The complication, the complexities that they bring in actually defeat their purposes. They don't help. They actually defeat their purposes. Back when I was studying philosophy of science, there is a term, Occam's razor. Occam's razor is a term used in philosophy and science to explain that when there are two different hypotheses, the more simple with the fewer assumptions is probably right. So when scientists are trying to understand and create hypotheses of why things happen, the more simple and direct, the less assumptions that are made, that's the one you want to rely upon. Same with philosophy. Whenever some issue, some thought is had, the more simple it is, the more direct it is, the more likely it is to be right. And it's interesting that we have to have Occam's razor. It would just seem natural that we would choose the easier way, but we humans don't choose the easier. We're constantly trying to complicate things and make them much harder than they really need to be. This is especially true about love and relationships. Now, just for a moment, think back and wonder with me. Do you think that in the ancient times, when our ancestors were trying to be in relation with each other, do you think that they sat around and had these big discussions about their feelings and about how their childhood upbringing was affecting them and how these deep psychological issues had impacted them and how the traumas of the day were affecting their relatedness? Or do you think that they were just committed to the relationship, working to stay together, working to protect each other, working to be a team? You know, we live in a time where it's hard to even imagine that, because we have a psychological explanation for everything. And having been through lots of psychology, it's very interesting to me that it's always a complicator. It's never simplifying thing. It will give explanations, but the explanation it provides are always much more complicated. If you don't know the story about Freud, you may not know that a lot of his theories about sexuality and sexualized behavior came out of a couple of cases where he was denying the fact that there was actual sexual abuse going on. And now we know that the real explanation for what was going on was sexual abuse. But instead of accepting that very direct explanation of why his patients were having difficulties, he went round and round with complications that created very interesting theories, very interesting fiction in a lot of cases, but no real explanations that made a difference. That's the root of our psychological theories. We're always making things very complicated. Now, let me say, I think it's very interesting to read those theories. I just don't find that they're particularly helpful in uncovering how to move forward in a relationship. Maybe it helps when somebody's trying to understand their psychology, their individual psychology, but it falls apart when you try to apply it to relationships. Just look at the books that you might have on your bedside stand about relationships and about how the theories are built. And what I've noticed is a lot of those books start at a very interesting thing about the breakdown of a relationship. And then when they begin to explain it and fully follow through on their theories, these theories are so complex that it makes your head spin and usually leaves you more confused and unsure of how to move forward than helps. Now, there are some exceptions to that, and there are some great books out there on relationships. I just would say that if you're reading a book and you're finding yourself more and more confused with more and more complexities, that probably is not the right route, that you probably have landed on the opposite of Occam's razor. You've landed on the issue of complexities. There are some great ones out there, though. One of my favorites, Gary Chapman, The Five Love Languages, he makes it into five pieces to understand. That's a simplified way of understanding how to move forward. It's part of what I've tried to do is make sure that people understand that there is a very simple approach that can help. The problem is that even in the most simple approaches, people still have the capacity of complicating things. And so if you're working through my system, if you're working to understand and work through your relationship stuff using my system, I want to warn you, don't complicate it. It's not a process of complication. I have a very simple system, a very simple approach with some very simple directions and techniques to move you forward. And the techniques are not without depth. They are meant to be transformational in your own life and in the relationship. But what I notice is this is what happens. I'll give out instructions, especially to my coaching clients, and I'll say, do this. And then they'll come back and say, well, I did this, and then I did this, and they've done this little creative turn, or at least they think it's creative, and then they tell me about how they got bad results from it, which is kind of interesting in my mind, because the pieces that I say, do this, I've practiced over and over. I've had people practice over and over. We've refined it down. My coaches and I have refined this down so that we know exactly what works and what doesn't work. And then people decide to bring in a little creativity. Now, I am all for creativity, but only after you've mastered the basics. And so when I say do this, I'm not saying do this and then add a little twist to it. I'm saying do this. For instance, I have a texting approach that I use, and I have a dating, a way of getting a date, an approach to use with that. And then I have an apology letter and several other pieces. They're not simply techniques, but they are based on human psychology and human receptivity. And they're also based on the deep desire we all have for connection. And so I will say exactly how to text. I'll give the exact directions. Here's what you say. And then they'll come back and they say, well, you know, it didn't work. And they'll tell me what they texted, and it's never what I said to text. Or I suggest a way of getting some the spouse to go out with them, to spend some time away. And it doesn't work. And they'll tell me why it didn't work. And either they messed up on the beginning of it or the execution of it. But they end up not having a connecting time, not because it wasn't possible, but because they decided to add a special twist to it. which is all great when everything is stable. You know, one of the things I say is in your relationship, when your relationship is healthy, expand it, right? Do some experimentation in there and find out what you both really, really want. But when you're working from a problem place, a trouble place, let's not be too creative. Let's be very simple and direct. Don't complicate it. That's the big thing. Don't complicate it. My apology letter. I see this all the time. I have an exact formula that I give my coaching clients on how to work through that apology letter. And a lot of times my coaching clients will bring me that apology letter and say, well, what do you think about this? And many times I have to ask the question, how did you get to that? Because you have gone way off what I suggest. And we have to pull back to a place where we understand that this is the goal of that apology letter. And the apology letter is not just this little letter to send, hoping that it'll be a technique. In fact, what I've discovered is that when people just treat it as a technique, it doesn't work. I've had some clients say, well, just give me exactly what to say. Why don't you give me a template? The problem with that is now we've become simplistic. All we want to do is copy and paste. And simplistic doesn't get there. There is something true and simple about making amends and making apologies for the wrongs. And there's a format that works for that. But you have to have an internal change. A lot of times people miss that when I'm giving these things to do, these ways of changing their behavior, I'm not just looking to change behavior to fool somebody. I'm looking to truly transform who they are and how they are in the world. And so if you sit down and you truly do an apology letter and you've really done it, you've done some soul searching. You've been vulnerable. You've done some soul searching, though, and you've shared something of yourself that is real and is connecting. The problem is that when you either make it simplistic by just wanting a copy and paste, or when you make it way too complex and begin to try to find a new way of doing it instead of just using the way that works. See, in my belief, there really are only three steps to saving your marriage. That may be a clue that that's why I named my book, How to Save Your Marriage in Three Simple Steps. Now, let me say at the outset, there is a difference between simple and easy, and we complicate that. That's another one of those things that we miss all the time. We complicate and see that things should just be easy. Relationships are not easy. They are simple and direct. What makes a relationship is pretty clear. That doesn't make them easy. Whenever we're in intimate connection with somebody else, it's going to have its difficulties. So don't hear me say this is easy, but do hear me say it is simple and it is direct. So the not easy part is sometimes we have to work through tough stuff. Sometimes we have to really move through that emotional place within us to move into something new and something better and something intimate. So what are those three steps to saving your marriage? Three C's: connect, change, create. Connect means to connect with your spouse. Remember that connection is the lifeblood of any marriage. It's the lifeblood. It's got to be there. If you want to starve off a relationship faster than anything else, just cut off the connection, right? And we all know that, but then we forget it in the midst of a marriage. So things get a little tough. And I've heard this story several times this week. So things were getting a little tough in the relationship. And so somebody says, you know, I'm going to give them some space. And what they meant by give them some space was not emotional space, as I talk about it. They were really doing, what they were doing was disconnecting, staying away from the other person. And that's not going to get us anywhere. So when I'm talking about emotional space, understand that we're not talking about no connection. We're just talking about not leaning into the connection and crowding out the other person. So connection, think of that as the lifeblood of your relationship, is necessary. And my guess is that if a marriage is in trouble, there's probably not been a lot of that connection. In fact, I don't see it happen the other way, that there has been a lot of connection and suddenly everything went wrong. So what we're trying to do is find a new healthy way of creating that connection. So the second C of change is about changing yourself, truly changing yourself, not pretending, not saying I'll change, I promise, but actually truly changing, becoming the best person you can be. I've said this many times and I'll say it one more time here. I do not assume that something is broken about you, that something is wrong with you, as much as all of us fall short. All of us have places where we can grow, and all of us have places where we need to grow. When we get into marriages, when we get into long-term relationships, one of our tendencies is to stop growing and stop developing. So the task is to step back into that and say, you know what? I need to grow. I need to find that new place for me to grow into. That's part of this process of learning about yourself as you're in this relationship. And so think of that opportunity you now have to change yourself, to become the best person you can be. But that's a very simple approach also. This is not about finding those long, deep, subconscious, unconscious elements that are haunting you. It's about stepping into the best place you can be. Finally, the other C, create, is about creating a new path. The path you were on, the way you were looking at your relationship, the way you both were looking at the relationship is how you got to here. Most people don't recognize and realize that the truth about a marriage is this about building a we. It's about moving into a place of saying, we're in this together. We're a team. When you finally get that, the magic starts happening. And so one person discovering that is enough. You can begin to move into that new place. Don't wait for your spouse to move into that. Don't wait for your spouse to begin moving into that we. You move into it yourself, and you invite your spouse into that process. You invite your spouse onto this new path. Let me be clear that these three C's of connecting, of changing yourself, and creating a new path are not a game. They are not a technique. They are an approach. We're talking about how you connect. And the truth of the matter is that you can change, that there are places for you to grow into, and that you must understand the direction your relationship needs to go. That's it. That's all that it takes to restore a relationship. Now, sometimes your spouse is going to say, I want no part of that, and you have to work from that level. But what's the worst that happens at the end of this whole process? You're a much better person who knows that you did your best, who has a new understanding of relationships and has a new level of realization about what happened and what could happen in the future. That's the worst that happens. That's pretty amazing stuff. If your best place is to have a great relationship that nurtures you both, and your worst is to be able to look in the mirror and go, wow, look at the new person I am, and look at what I tried to do, and look at what I now understand. Not much of a loss there. As long as you don't overcomplicate it and fall into the trap of trying to make this into a technique, this is real. Marriage is simple, not easy, but it's simple. And until we complicate it, we can do a lot more to save it by staying on an approach that gives you a simple approach. If you find yourself looking at something that just overcomplicates everything or makes it too simplistic, find that place where it's a real approach that gives you a simple approach that's not necessarily easy, but will get you to where you want to get to and where your relationship wants to get to. And I want to invite you to do that. If you don't have my system, you can grab that. There's a link in the related resources. You can go straight there and find the Save the Marriage system. If you have that and you're ready to say, okay, you know what? I'm just trying to do techniques and I really got to make this deep. Join me for some coaching. There's a link to the VIP program, which is both coaching and training, some advanced stuff that's going to move you forward. That's the way to step it up and really say, you know what? I've overcomplicated this, or I've been too simplistic about this. I've got to find a simple approach, a direct approach, where I change, I connect, and I create a new path for my relationship. This is Lee Balcom wishing you a simple marriage as you bring it together and heal what's broken.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.